that was hewed out of a mountain, Lord. I heard about a stone that came rolling down from Babylon. I heard about a stone that was hewed out of a mountain, Lord, and tore down the kingdoms of this world. Oh, Lord, I'm searching for that stone that was hewed out of a mountain, Lord. I'm searching for that stone that came rolling down from Babylon. I'm searching for that stone that was hewed out of a mountain, Lord, and tore down the kingdoms of this world. Oh, Lord. Old Daniel saw that stone that was hewed out of a mountain, Lord. Old Daniel saw that stone that came rolling down from Babylon. Old Daniel saw that stone that was hewed out of a mountain, Lord, and tore down the kingdoms of this world. Well, my mother has that stone that was hewed out of a mountain, Lord. My father has that stone that came rolling down from Babylon. My mother has that stone that was hewed out of a mountain, Lord, and tore down the kingdoms of this world. Oh, Lord, and I found that stone that was hewed out of a mountain, Lord. I found that stone that came rolling down from Babylon. I found that stone that was hewed out of a mountain, Lord, and tore down the kingdoms of this world. Oh, Lord, and you can have that stone that came hewed out of a mountain, Lord. You can have that stone that came rolling down from Babylon. You can have that stone that was hewed out of a mountain, Lord, and tore down the kingdoms of this world.
Amen. I put him on the spot. He said, well, I don't know if I can remember or not. You know, when you get old, it's kind of hard to remember things you used to. I'm just kidding to you. Just before the pastor comes to preach this morning, I'm going to ask Sister Kendra to come sing my favorite song that she does, There Is a Way. There is always a way in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lost everything. For the wife who feels betrayed, the child who is afraid, for the home that is broken by the scars of sin and shame, there is hope and there is healing in the power of Jesus' name. There is a way, there is a light, there is life in the blood of Jesus Christ. You can be saved, He paid the price. This is the gospel, are the mind so confused, and the one who is abused for a world that needs mercy and the truth that makes us free. There's forgiveness and cleansing at the cross of Calvary.
Good singing. I believe Brother Tim's been holding out on us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to put him on the spot more often. But I enjoyed that. Enjoyed that singing. I enjoy coming to the house of the Lord. I enjoy being in church. And I think there's no better way to start off 2017 than being in the house of God. Well, this morning we're going to read a verse of Scripture out of Colossians chapter number 1. And we'll talk about this subject. It all starts with God. You know, how are we going to have a good 2017? How is your life going to be everything that it should be in 2017? Well, it all starts with God. How in the world could I possibly think that I could be anything I needed to be without Him? But people do that, and people are trying that, and people are trying to accomplish. So many people right now have their New Year's resolution all laid out. For some people, they say, well, I'm going to lose that 5 pounds I gained during the Christmas and Thanksgiving holidays. Maybe you will. Some people, it's 25. Other people, they say, well, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to change some things. It always starts with I. But I want to give you this preface this morning. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. I think we kind of adopted that, and I feel this way is our church motto. And if we're going to be anything, it's going to have to be about the Lord. If His church is ever going to be everything that God wants it to be, it's got to be about Him, not us. If your home is ever going to be what God wants it to be, He's got to be the head of your home. If your marriage is going to be the marriage that you'd like for it to be or that it should be, God's got to be at the center of it. You know, young people, for you to grow up and have the life that God wants you to have, He's going to have to be at the center of it. You know, even as we grow, and I think this often, I think about life and the years that I've lived, and I look back, I'm still learning every day. I'm still growing. God's still speaking to me. And sometimes I think, well, Lord, why couldn't you just let me learn all this and then live my life knowing? But it doesn't work that way, does it? See, I've often thought when I was 40, boy, I wish I knew when I was 20 what I know now that I'm 40. Then I got to be 50 and beyond. And I thought, Lord, I wish I knew when I was 20 what I know when I'm 50. And there's going to come a time if the Lord doesn't, you know, if the Lord stays his coming, if Jesus doesn't return, and if I live to be 60, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to look back and I'm going to say, Lord, I wish I knew when I was 50 what I know now that I'm 60. But the only thing I've learned in relation to all that is you've got to put God first. You've got to put God first in your home. You've got to put God first in your life, your dreams, everything about you, if you ever want to be what you could be. It all starts with God. I want to read this scripture, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Then we'll pray and we'll try to deliver to you the things that are on our heart. But it says, for by Him, which is speaking of Jesus Christ, were all things made, were all things created, that are in the heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we're so thankful to be in your house this morning. And God, I do pray and ask you, God, to have your way in this service, this message. God, would you please touch my heart, my mind, my lips. Help me to speak only those things that are pleasing to you, to honor you, to lift you up. God, I pray that you'd give me the words that you won't deliver to your people. Help me to speak with boldness and obedience and clarity of speech and thought. God, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you, God, we pray first of all that they'd be saved, they'd come to know you. And God, if there's anybody here that, Lord, needs some direction in their life, help them, God, we pray, to understand that that direction comes from you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you as we pray and we seek only to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going down the road this week, and I come up behind a car, and it had the license plate, had a letter U and a space, and it said saved. It just said, you saved? Now, we're going to get in this message, but I want to tell you, first of all, these altars are always open. And if you're here this morning, and you're not saved, and you don't know Jesus, you're the most important person in this house to us as Christians. And there's nothing we'd like better than on New Year's Day to see somebody start their life off right, start the year off right, coming to know the Savior. And if you're here this morning and you've got anything in your life you're troubled about, I'll tell you the first place you need to go. You need to bring it to the foot of the cross. You need to realize that God loved you enough that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you and that He does care about what's going on in your life. Amen? Now, what do you think about the purpose of life? When you begin to think about the purpose of life, here's what I want you to understand. The purpose of life is greater than you alone, by yourself. It is more than your personal fulfillment. But isn't that the way a lot of people live today? Life is prosperous or life is pleasing if they're having personal fulfillment. A lot of people count or measure prosperity by fortune or by fame or one or the other. And they've got to have that. And they look around them at the world and they see people who are in those positions and that's how they measure it. But, you know, it's not measured by that. You know, sometimes people say, well, it's the peace of mind that you have. Well, there's a false peace of mind that people have. Because the Bible talks about that they will cry peace and safety and then sudden destruction cometh upon them. There's one thing to have peace of mind as it relates to the world. It's another thing to have peace with God. Completely different. See, it's more than your personal happiness. Happiness is based on happenings. And sometimes people measure their peace or happiness in life by what's happening. In other words, if you know, I've got a good job and it's paying well and the doctor's reports are all good, then everything's okay. But I want to tell you, everything's not always going to be okay. One thing that I've learned about life, and I've learned this in business, I've learned this in everything that I do, is when it's really good, don't let yourself get too high. And when it's really low, don't let yourself get too low, because I guarantee you it's going to change. You see, it's more than, the purpose of life is even more than your family. Sometimes people take their family and their little nucleus and everything about life centers around that. But you got to reach beyond that. You know, it's more than your career. I know people who place so much emphasis on their career, it's the whole reason they live. I know men, and I've known them, that will spend hours and hours and hours trying to climb the corporate ladder and forgetting everything else in life. But it's more than that. Greater than your ambitions. I've known people that one right after the other, they're looking for to find some accomplishment or to find something that they can be successful at. But it's more than that. Even your dreams, the things that you think, well, I'd really like to, when you fill in the blank. But where are you if you got all those things, but you don't have God? The Bible says in one place, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? You see, I believe we need to think about that. We need to understand that. As I mentioned just a minute ago, you go back and read through the Old Testament and you find through many of them where they said, I go the way of all the earth. You know, we're here on the first day of 2017 and we have loved ones and family members that are not with us anymore. You know, we got a text last night. We've had two more grandmothers of people in our church that have gone to be with the Lord. What a time right at Christmas for people to be faced with this. But it's going to come to all of us. You know, when people begin to think about what is the purpose of life, what's life about, first I want to look at the wrong approach of life. What's the wrong approach to life? It is focusing on self. Now, we all fight with that. I had a man admit to me recently, he was talking about the skill that he had to play a particular instrument. And he said, because of the way that I lived my life when I played that instrument and the way that I was living and where I was at, he said, I decided to put it down. He said, because every time that I pick it up, the skill that I have, which is very skilled, he said, I begin to want to show out. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. And you say, well, I'm not that way. The truth is, every one of us are that way. Amen. Because if you can ever conquer yourself and realize that nothing you do is about you, because you wouldn't be able to do it to start with if God didn't give you the skill, if God didn't give you the breath, and if God didn't give you the ability, okay? Because I believe talent comes from the Lord. If you're talented, praise God. If you're doing anything else, He could take it just like that. You know, sometimes you see these people that are so pretty, they want everybody to see them. Now, I was looking at my wife up here singing, I thought, she's too pretty for me. I think that a lot.
That's true.
She is, that's right. But, you know, sometimes, what about you?
Amen.
What do you think you got, the things that you have? Now, ladies, if you're pretty, and praise God. Some of you guys are pretty smart, but praise God. The last thing we ever want to do is gloat in ourselves, because everything we have, we would not have it if God did not give it to us. And the world we're living in today is taking the glory that belongs to God and are turning it inward. But I want to tell you, that's the wrong approach to the purpose of life. See, what people do when they focus on self, they deal with these questions. And they ask these. And I know, young people, some of these are in your mind. But I want you to mix this with the understanding of what the will of God is. What do we ask? What do I want to be when I grow up? What do I want to do with my life? What goals do I have? What are my ambitions? What are my dreams? What do I want to do in my future? Okay, we begin to look at the world and how it measures prosperity. And I want you to understand something. The world will put a pull on you. I heard a preacher get up and preach one time, and he was talking about how much this world pulls on you. Now, we live in a world who is ruled by the prince of the power of the air. Okay, this is Satan's dominion. He was cast down from heaven. He's no longer in heaven. Well, where's he at? The Bible tells us he's going to and fro upon the face of the earth. And how do you know persons ultimately deceived when they think everything there is that ever matters is right here, when in reality it's not? All this is just a place that we're here for a short period of time until God takes us into an eternal dominion in heaven with Him. And all the purpose of us, what did it say? All things were made by Him, and all things consist for Him. You see, focusing on yourself will never reveal God's purpose for your life. In Job chapter 12 and verse number 10, he said these words. Says, in whose hands is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Remember the story in the New Testament where the man said, you know, to his soul, he said, soul, thou hast much goods. You know, just be at peace, eat, drink, be merry. He said, what am I going to do? I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to say to my soul, take your rest. Then the word came and it said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all of those things be? But that's where people are at today. They think that the prosperity of the world occurs in all those things, when in reality we have no control even over our next breath. Now what I want us to understand about life's purpose, number one, is to have an understanding of life's purpose, you must begin with God. Now here's what I want us to see when we speak of God. God is our creator. And if He is our creator, then we do exist by Him and we exist for Him. We're living in a world today that wants to get away from that. And I'll tell you why they want to get away from that. Because if He is creator and He created us, then we are accountable to Him. And it's like this, if we accept God's word as being truth, then we must accept what God's word says about us as being truth. And we can't live the life that's pleasing to self and satisfying to self unless we take the Creator and we push Him to the side. That's why many people greatly enjoy the holiday season and they put an X in front of Christmas and make it Xmas because they want all the benefits without having the Creator and the Savior. You see, we must accept this truth. Until we understand and accept this truth, here's the problem. Life will never make sense. Because where does a person go who does not have a relationship with God when all the things of this world fall away? And they will. You know, we study history and we see how that the stock market, who right now is about to what, reach 20,000. At one time or another, you know, it got over just a little over 12,000 back before the last crash, and then it got down to about 7,000. You go back to the Great Depression, and there were people who lost everything that they had, and they were climbing up into buildings and jumping out of windows because their only hope in life consists in the things that they could hold in their hand. You know, there's nothing wrong with us laying up for the future. There's nothing wrong with us trying to achieve. And folks, I'm doing it. I'm looking forward to the day that I don't have to make that journey down to Noonan and deal with all that customer service stuff, Brother Tommy. But I want to tell you something. My hope in life is not in this world. Now, here's what I want you to understand. We must accept the truth of Christ as our Savior because that's the only way we're going to understand some things. And here's one of them, our origin. You know, I don't know how people go through life and never think about where did I come from. You know, we've got solutions, okay? Man's very clever. Satan's very clever. And it comes into the heart and the mind of man that we'll come up with a theory of evolution and we'll decide that we evolved from nothing. Now, if that's true, here we all sit. We've just matured. You know, we've lost our feathers and our long snaggly teeth. And we've lost our wings and our bird's claws and all that kind of stuff. Well, no. The Bible says we're created by God in the image of God for the purpose of God. And when God created Adam, He placed him in the midst of the garden. And He made him to rule over all that He created. And He called the animals before them and He gave them names. Now, if you really want to study deep science, I don't have time for it this morning. All you got to do is go back and look at what happened before the flood and after the flood. It explains dinosaurs. It explains the size of the animals. When man lived to be 900 plus years old, because the earth was covered with a great gas cloud and it had never rained, there was life could exist. But then there was a curse placed on man. And the years begin to trickle off. It was 120, it was 70, and now We don't have that. And God's word, just as it was proclaimed, is being fulfilled. Amen. You see, our origin is that we were created by God. Well, what about our identity? You know why so many people struggle and they go through life and some are happy and some are not? Is because their identity is based upon success in this world. That's why the world that we're living in today is placing less and less emphasis on a person with a problem, and they're saying they're no good to society. You know, we say, well, we don't believe that. I want to tell you to be afraid of the slippery slope that we have started in this country when we first say that abortion's okay, and then we've got the right to die movement. I want you to understand something. It's not the right to die movement. It's the requirement to die. Because we've lost the sanctity of life. If our identity is in Christ and every person is special and you're a special creation just like you are, and the Lord does know how the bones do grow in the womb even before, then you are special. David said, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth right well." Here's your identity. Your identity is not based upon your job. Your identity is not based upon how pretty somebody says you are. Your identity is based in the fact that you are a unique creation created by God for the purpose of God, and God loves you more than you can even comprehend, just like you are. We have an origin in Christ. We have an identity in Christ. We are a child of God. What about our meaning? Why am I on this earth? Folks, we are on this earth to bring honor and glory to God. Now, here's what I want you to understand. We've got a family. I've got a family. I've got a wife. I've got boys. I've got a daughter. I've got a son-in-law who is a son now. I've got grandsons that I love. And I've got church family. But every person here is a child of God. I heard a man preaching one time, and we were at a conference over at Burnt Hickory Baptist Church, and it was a conference for the Paulding Pregnancy Center, and he began to read some scripture, and he said it so uniquely. He said, God wanted offspring. Do you know that the scripture says that you are so special that he has made you a little lower than the angels and crowned you with glory and honor? You are a child of God. It is important when we live here to understand, what does your children have to do for you to smile? Sometimes I like, and I don't know if you look at this way, but when we sit down at the table and my kids are eating, I smile. When they sing, I smile. When they open their presents on Christmas morning, I smile. When they clean their rooms, I smile. Wait, do you get that? God takes pleasure in you and everything about you because you're His children. And when you're obedient, He smiles. See, that's our meaning and our purpose on this life, is we are God's children. That gives us great significance. Now, when we think about that, we think about, where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Think about our future. See, our future is the children of God and every one of you. This question is, have you accepted Him as Father? He's already accepted you. See, our future is that we were made for eternity. We weren't just made to live 60, 70 years. And for some, it's only 20. For some, it's only 10. But Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again, that where I am, that you may be also. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Amen. See, our future is with Him in eternity in heaven. Now, think about that, and then think about every other path. Every other path leads to a dead end. The scripture says in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Well, think about these dead ends. Here's dead end number one. Using God for your purpose is a dead end. That's what some people do. They come to the Lord and they want the Lord to solve their problems. They want the Lord to give them the things that they want. But the truth is, we were made for God, not God made for us. So using God for your purposes, a deity in Matthew 16:25 says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." What's deity in number two? This is self-help. It's leading to worldly success like this. Well, I'm a self-made man. I've worked, I've built this business, I've been successful. But you know, the truth is, if you don't know the Lord, one day you're going to die and somebody else is going to get it. See, when we do what we do for the honor and glory of God, I believe sometime, and my wife reminds me of this, she's so good at it. I look at her and she'll be doing something and she'll smile and she'll say, "God blessed us so we can bless somebody else." What are you going to say to that? I can't say yes, dear. I say yes, ma'am. Right? Has God blessed you so you can just continually pour it on yourself, or is it so you can bless somebody else? You see, because God wants you to be successful. He wants you to be happy. But He wants you to understand that everything that you have it because He allowed you to have it. What's deity in number three? Trying to find your own path without God as your leader. It's like this. Well, I did it my way. Some people do it their way. But when they get to the end of the way, they have no hope. You know, this year, 2016, this past year, has been a year that's just been really just full of funerals. I can't remember a time that I went to as many funerals in one year as I did this past year. Even hearing of funerals and people that have had them, it just seems like there's been so much. Some of them I couldn't even get to. There were so many. And I've come to the conclusion that if I'm called to go and do a funeral, whether I know the person closely or not, here's what I'm going to do. I'm a preacher. I'm going to stand up and proclaim the Word of God just like everybody in the room believes it. Because if they don't believe it, they need to believe it. Because I heard a man recently say he was asked to come and speak at a funeral. And he said when he got there, they met him at the door. And they said, "You cannot even mention the name of God while you're standing up there." You know, you can do it your way, but when you stand before God, and one day you will, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me tell you something. Every mocker, every person right now in this country that's putting down Christianity and God, they're going to bow. The wrong approach is to do it your way. See, it's not about you. Not about your career, your dreams, your planning, your life. It's not about what work you want to do. The question is, what does God want with your life? Now, if we're going to discover our purpose that we were created for, we only have two options. Here's number one. Number one is speculation. A lot of people go through life like that. They speculate. Have you ever talked to them? You know, I don't argue with people, the Bible. This is my approach. Somebody wants to talk to me about the Bible, and it can even be an open discussion. We don't have to agree on everything. Can we go ahead and say this? As many people as there are in this church right now, if we start getting into theology, and we start getting into eschatology and soteriology and all them other ologies that they teach you in Bible school that most people don't even know what you're talking about when you say it, we're going to have differences of opinion. One thing we can must agree on is Jesus. You know, the Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. It says there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Truth is, a lot of that other stuff we may not know till we get there. Then it won't matter, will it? But a lot of people, they go through life and they speculate. One thing I don't do is I don't argue with people. I tell them if they want to talk about it, if I can help you, this will get them. Well, if I can help you, I'll help you. Well, you can't help me. I know everything. Well, then I can't help you. But I'm not going to argue with you. And you're not going to change me because I'm satisfied. But people go through life and they speculate. What do? They guess. They say, "Well, I guess it's going to be like this." And they begin to give you their thoughts. Or they theorize. They try to come up with theories, and sometimes the theories, when you really study the science behind them, comes from people who said specifically that the idea of God was unthinkable. And if you study the theory of evolution, and you study Darwin, and you study Nietzsche, and you study a lot of those people, you realize that they just didn't want God. And they came up with a theory that a world today that doesn't want God just pushes. But it's garbage. They speculate and they say things like this. Well, I've always thought life is like. And they fill in the blank. Or they say the best guess or theory that I can come up with is. And they fill in the blank. See, they theorize or they speculate, or some people tend not to think at all. They just go through life living for one pleasure after the other, one moment of satisfaction after the other, living in oblivion, trying to forget that one day their life is going to be over, trying to forget that there is a future out in front of them, trying to forget that the actions that they take every day don't just affect them, but it affects other people. The way that they live causes a mother to get by the bed at night and cry and pray every day. It causes a daddy to get out of his mind driving to work just thinking about not knowing where my son is at. It causes a family that comes into the house of the Lord to be sitting, and you don't know how the people around you are hurting today, thinking, where's my loved one? Because that loved one chooses not to think about it at all. So you got speculation. But then you have revelation. Well, here's revelation. Revelation is from the Word of God. You see, in the Word of God, the questions of life are answered. The easiest way to discover your purpose is to ask the Creator. Now, one thing that men don't like to do, and I've even noticed this in my son. He got these toys, and he said, Dad, I got to figure this out. Got to figure out how to make this thing fly. I can't figure out how to get it to sync and hook up to my iPhone. I said, son, have you read the directions? No. He just looked at me, and I thought he just like me. So what do? If we want to know the purpose of an invention, read the directions. Now, if we want to know God's plan for our life, we read what the Creator said. You see, the Creator, in His instruction book, has given us some things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You see, God has clearly revealed the purpose of life in the Bible. Now, here's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us why we're alive. It tells us where we came from. It gives us clear understanding and a picture of why we are here on this earth. The Bible tells us how life works and the things that we need to pay attention to. And the Bible tells us, and this is what people don't like, and this is why a lot of people, they want to throw this out, is the Bible tells us what to avoid. The Bible tells us what's right and what's wrong, and it tells us the things that we should and should not accept in our lives, in our homes, and in America. But people want to throw the Bible out. They want to throw the Word out. Well, I want to ask you, how are you going to have a good 2017 if you're not going to put God in His proper place? What we're doing is we're saying, we're not going to listen to the Creator. We're not going to read His instruction. We're not going to listen to Him when He tells us why we're here, what we're supposed to do here, how we're supposed to act here. You know what you do? You write your own book. And every person that has walked away from God or rejected God, they've got their own. You know, we come up with these unique names for it. We call it agnostic. We call it humanism, whatever. It's just this. Just rejected God. You can call it anything you want, but you've rejected God. You see, when we read this book, it tells us where we came from. It tells us why we're here. It tells us how unique we are. It tells us how much we're loved, but it tells us what our future is. You see, my future's secure. My future's secure, and this is where people, if they could just get a hold of this. Sometimes people look at Christians and they say, those old self-righteous people, this, that. And I hear them talking, they're all hypocrites. Let me tell you something. You know what a hypocrite is? Hypocrite is somebody that wears a mask. Now, there might be. There might be some hypocrites in here. You pretend to be one thing, but you act like something else. See, here's what I am. I'm not a hypocrite, because I want to tell you right now, I'm not perfect. If you see me do something wrong, that ain't Jesus' fault. That's my fault. What I am is I'm saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood, under the blood. And I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Because I've accepted Him, I'm secure. See, I believe when you accept Christ, the Bible says you must be born again. You're born spiritually. How can one be dead after he's born? I'm made alive. Alive in Christ. And I believe when you get saved, you're saved. See, I understand my future. My future's secure because Jesus Christ paid my penalty on the cross. Now, if we look at this scripture in Ephesians 1:1, I just want to give you a couple of points and then we'll have a song. See, number one is you discover your identity and your purpose through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know where you'd get it other than that. Because if you believe in evolution and you believe in a life without God, here's what really is difficult, and this is where we're at today. This is why we had 40-something murders in Chicago in the month of December. Because if there's no God, nothing you do matters. Nothing. Nothing. How do we measure right and wrong without the Word of God? Well, it's whatever society will accept. And as society deteriorates, what is accepted grows and grows. Number two, God was thinking of you long before you ever thought of Him. You see, He loves you and He cares for you and you're unique and special just like you are. You don't have to be like somebody else. You don't have to be somebody else's image. Now, I was talking to somebody recently about this, about even ministry. God wants you to be unique. God doesn't want you to be like somebody else. God didn't call me to be like my dad, although my dad was a great man. I don't preach like he preached. I don't preach like some of the men that I grew up around. And when I was growing up, I tell you, I struggled with it. Because I said, Lord, I'm not like them. Finally, I just had to listen to the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm not trying to ask you to be somebody else. He said, I just want you to be the best you that you can be. That's what God's saying to you this morning. Amen. And the purpose of your life fits into a much greater and a much larger picture. See, God has designed a place in eternity for you. And there's some things that I'll be honest with you, I just don't understand. But I'm going to tell you what I do believe about eternity. I'm going to ask them to go ahead and get ready for a song, and I'll tell you when to play it in just a minute. There's so much here that God's blessed us with. Amen? I'm like, aren't we blessed? God has poured out His blessings on us, and sometimes, even I know it's a little cold out there for some of you, but I can't walk outside and not see God. I can't see a sunrise and not see God. When the leaves turn, I see Him. When I'm raking the leaves, I see Him. When I'm riding down the road, I see Him. When these little children come in and they smile and I look into their eyes, I see Him. When people stand and testify about His goodness, I see Him. When we pray and God answers prayers, I see Him. When a person leaves this life and they go and be with the Lord, I see Him. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we have many loved ones that are there. See the conclusion. And I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Without God, life makes no sense. Without God, you cannot fulfill your purpose for life. You'll never be what you're supposed to be without God. Without God, you cannot take the place that God has for you in eternity. And here's what I want you to understand. Bible says it's not His will that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Had somebody ask me the other day, they said, would you believe anything happens that's not the will of God? Let me tell you the answer to that. Absolutely, every day. Because many of us, or all of us, have done things that wasn't God's will.
Amen.
Because God gave us free will. Now the question, are we going to accept Him as King and live in 2017 for His honor and glory, or are we going to try to do it our way? And the way you find out and know the will of God is, number one, surrender. And you walk with Him the next 15 minutes, the next 30 minutes, the next day. And the more you obey Him, the more you'll learn how to listen to His voice. As they sing this song, if you're here this morning, you don't know.